And welcome to the program, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. And as promised, I am back behind the microphone after an extended absence away at the Republican National Convention. And, okay, so I've got some thoughts about it, and we'll parse it out this hour, and I'll hopefully give you a little bit of insight from all the stuff that has been missing in the coverage that you've been following this week. Or maybe you haven't been following the coverage. But before I get to the substance of it, so producer Robbie and I, there are opportunities to do some fun stuff at these conventions. And perhaps one of the better after hour events was the Milo Yiannopoulos LGBT for Trump rally. And it was in a ballroom, a lot of tight security, because they had not just Milo speaking, who is now a target for all sorts of Muslim extremists, but also Dutch politician Geert Wilders, whom I got to meet. I'll talk a little bit more about that later as well. But at any rate, so we go into this ballroom, and it's kind of in this convention center, but offsite. It's not part of the RNC lockdown area. And this ballroom is filled with such a fascinating medley of people, a potpourri of humanity. Now, I will say, producer Robbie, well, as we're walking up, he starts fiddling around in his bag. He carried this bag. It was we joked it was the nuclear football for the show because it had the camera and it had our equipment in it, credentials, everything. And he starts digging around in his bag, his Mary Poppins producer bag, and pulls out, well, a rainbow colored tie. Now, you go, Robbie, you're going to get yourself into trouble with that thing. So he puts it on, walk into the party, and it's not, well, so there's artwork on the wall. And this is the part of it. If you heard about the event and got covered, let me just tell you about the artwork on the wall. So the theme of the artwork was Twinks for Trump. And if you don't know what Twinks are, go and look it up. So it's these young men, and they're wearing virtually nothing except for some sort of undies type thing and a Donald Trump hat. They're all wearing Donald Trump hats. So just picture that. Well, Robbie not only pictured it, but he wanted to take a photo of it. So he's all up and close with his camera, taking pictures of these photographs up on the wall. When Brad from Michigan walked up. Now, who's Brad? We don't know. Trump supporter, very gay, and very interested in Robbie. And I thought, Robbie, I thought he was going to eat you alive. We barely got out of there. And the best part is I started backing away from the whole thing. He drove there, right? I mean, Michigan, got to realize, we're here on the left coast. We don't get all of our geography quite straight, but we're right off the lake, and Detroit's only 2 hours away. And so this guy got, I guess he drove in his car for like 3 days straight. And so he asked us, where are you staying? And we're, oh, well, you know, we're staying over in this other part of town, and didn't want to get too specific. But he, fascinating to me, this is the interesting bit of it. You look across that room, and there's journalists there, there's media. But then there is such a broad assortment of Republicans, of straight Republicans, gay Republicans, but they're there and they're enthused about this party. And I think this is, you know, this is what's so fascinating about what's going on and why you're hearing about all the discord, which is a blown out of proportion, of course, but, you know, sensationalized. But you hear a lot of this talk about how... Well, you know, the backlash against Trump and the lack of unity against Trump. And there is right now a war going on for the heart and soul of the party. And the Trump people, the Trump crowd is winning. And it's a good thing because all of a sudden you have, remember 4 years ago, you'd have a little small group of people get together at these events. And it wouldn't even be called LGBT. It would be called the Log Cabin Republicans. Remember that term? It's a term that we almost haven't heard in this cycle. You haven't heard it. It used to be that the Republican Party couldn't even say the word gay. They couldn't. They come up with euphemistic language. You couldn't even say it. And now you have Peter Thiel, and if you missed the speech, it was spectacular. Billionaire Peter Thiel, PayPal co-founder, gave one of the keynote speeches on the last day of the convention, on Thursday. And he gets up and he says, I am proud to be gay. I am proud to be a Republican. And most of all, I am proud to be an American. And the crowd goes wild. And it is interesting. It is simply a different group of Republicans in that hall than there were 8 years ago, even 4 years ago. And this is the part that the media doesn't want to talk about. They want to get all about Melania's speech and how she lifted, you know, 8 words from Michelle Obama, who probably lifted those 8 words from somebody else. They're devoting all this time and attention to the convention being disorganized, which I want to tell you later, too, about how this thing was organized to the hilt. The idea of the thousands of people who showed up, and we had a chance to talk to one of the volunteers there, and she described the level of preparedness and everything that went into the nuts and bolts of this thing. Everything worked. Everything was smooth. All this talk about, you know, about speakers being on, I mean, everything just, it all just came together. And so, again, I think a lot of exaggeration there. But I want to get into the Cruz speech a little bit, because the Cruz speech really holds the clues to everything here that the media is talking about, and why the party is just a different beast than it was not so long ago. And it's because for once in my lifetime, the Republicans are winning the culture war. Republicans, and I mean this, I think even a lot of independents and even some Democrats are not okay with cop hating. They are not okay with globalism. They're not okay with a demonization of success. They're just not okay with it. And, you know, so you've got, it's not just what the Democratic Party is or isn't, because certainly the Democratic Party is one that demonizes the police at all costs, regardless of what, you know, what the facts happen to be. They're the party that demonizes wealth and success. And they're the party that wants us to be part of a giant world order. You know, they'd love for us to be a part of something like the EU. They want to put us into global treaties. They want to give away sovereignty. But it's not what they, it's not even about that. This suddenly, you've got an entire movement within the Republican Party that succinctly, and I think very adequately and puts out this concise plan, and people are going wild for it. It's inclusiveness. When you have someone, even like Cruz, who barely could grit out of his teeth, you know, I congratulate Donald Trump. I mean, you would think he was choking on those words. But you know what he says? He gets up there and says, the Bill of Rights protects you, whether you're gay or straight. It's interesting. It signals an epochal shift. And you bet your bottom dollar that there are people in that room, there are people in that hall that are unhappy with that. They don't like it. It's not the party that they wanted to be a part of. But they've been completely outnumbered by the people. And so this isn't some hijack by Trump of the Republican Party. The Republican Party was hijacked years ago by the religious right, by the donor class, by big government, big government types who benefit from democratic style, liberal protectionist, policies, high barrier of entries. The more regulation, the better, because what we want is we want to protect our big business from competition from upstart companies. Okay. And that kind of thing became part and parcel what the Republican Party was about. And it was on some level virtually indistinguishable from Democrats. And so here at the convention, I'll tell you what I saw. I saw a party that turned and remade itself, refocused itself, became something, I think, fundamentally more true to conservative principles. We really don't care who you are. It doesn't matter if you're brown, if you're black, if you're white, if you're a woman, a man. We care about your merit, about your work, about your ethics. This is what America is. We are at our core a meritocracy. And the efforts of the left to redefine us, to make us into, to divide us into these groups and subgroups, to give us benefits based on who we are on paper versus who we are in our heart and in our very being. That's not working. So when we come back, I'll tell you a little more about the convention, how it played out. Tell you about some of our run-ins with left-wing media. And back after this, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
What are you doing this weekend? I'm James Bergener, and I'm listening to Sam Nation right here on Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
Hi. Back. And you know what? I just want to give a shout-out to Sweet James here really quick for sponsoring the show and seeing to it that we would get out there to the convention. That really was phenomenal. You always hear, and you instinctively know it, you and about 70 to 80% of the public, by the latest statistics, you instinctively know to be true the following statement: the media is lying to you. And I want to tell you why that was so blatantly apparent to me sitting at the RNC. So these conventions, the way they work is you have a perimeter that is set up, and these are barricades that are largely impermeable. They set up these temporary metal walls, and you would really need a tank to get through it. And then outside of the walls, you have trucks set up and garbage trucks and things like that, city vehicles that form blockades to major roads. So you're inside the bubble, outside the bubble. You got to show your credentials as you move around. So once you get in and you go through Secret Service security screening, you really don't want to go back out, is what I'm getting at. So you spend a lot of downtime inside the bubble, okay, inside the perimeter. And you end up talking to people just randomly can fill the time. And one of the things I found is talking to a lot of reporters from all over the country, they all showed up with a story. I'm joking, but I think it's true. Half written. They already had, I give you an example of a gal from Pittsburgh. She sits down with me and we begin talking about the convention. And she says, well, I'm writing a story right now about drinking at the Republican convention and about Republicans letting loose after hours. And I laughed. I think producer Robbie, he laughed too, because the nightlife was dead. I mean, we'd go out at night and the bartenders would all complain to us about how horrible business was. You know that Cleveland actually suspended its 2 p.m. cutoff for bars and extended it. 2 a.m., excuse me. Yeah, the 2 a.m. cutoff for bars and they extended it, I think, to 4, was it? And they did it just to encourage business, thinking that these Republican animals are going to come to the convention and just go bananas. What didn't happen? most of these delegate goers, I'll tell you, people that were going wild were the media. the convention goers were all there with their spouses. I think they were all turning in at 10 o'clock at night. And they were so scared of, you know, I don't know. What didn't happen. There's a casino right across from the perimeter. And the couple times that we went there, I mean, it was dead. So we're telling the Pittsburgh Reporter this. And she's a snowflake millennial, so she was, you know, she was all wide-eyed. And we're telling her about you know, yeah, well, listen, I think you're barking up the wrong tree, because, you know, we've been out and about, and perhaps if you want to write a story about this, you should be out and about at 1 a.m. instead of holed up in your hotel room filing your fiction news reporting. But that's just it. She went, it was either her or her editor told her, write a story about Republicans going hog wild. And there she is at the little table outside on the patio, typing away, writing a story that just is not true at all. It doesn't reflect any kind of reality. And so we tried to direct her to, you know, some sources, you know, a bar manager that we had met at one of the big downtown watering holes. And she wasn't even interested. She didn't even write it down. She's like, oh, uh-huh, okay, all right, that guy. So this is the God's honest truth. When you are reading an article or you're watching a news report, understand this. The entire reporting began with someone's preconceived notion about what it is that they're going to say. And they only, the extent to which that article was researched was just to fill in with any kind of quotes, any kind of names, any kind of source material they could that bolsters their argument. Yeah, it used to be, or I don't know if it used to be, but ideally, you call that an opinion piece. It's an opinion piece, and it belongs in the opinion section. It's like this show. This show is my opinion. If you don't like my opinion, don't listen. But you can't write, you can't put stuff on the front page of a newspaper, call it journalism, and then sit there and all but admit to me that, you know, that this is what you're going to write about come hell or high water. Facts be damned. And so that's what's so alarmingly typical here. And this is what we rail against on this program. Because we deal in facts. Facts. And what you're going to listen to, I promise you, next week, it's going to be, you know, the Democrats are going to spend a week talking about their feelings. It's going to be disgusting. It's a week of feelings, of trigger warnings, of safe space. They got Lena Dunham speaking. We'll talk more about that tomorrow. But, you know, yeah, it is crazy. So this is, I'll tell you, we had another experience with the reporter where I told her that I'd been to the LGBT rally that I talked about in the last segment. And so the way it works is you've got the program, you've got the convention program in the afternoon, and then starting at about 10 or 11 at night, you'll have all these different parties and events. And one of those was the LGBT for Trump, and it was organized by the Breitbart editor, Milo Yiannopoulos. And it was really a terrific thing. Anyway, long story short, we're telling a gal, a reporter, about this event. And she goes, huh, how interesting. You wouldn't think that that event would be, you know, really attended because of all these bigots here. I look at her and I said, what do you mean bigots? I mean, tell me about a bigot that you see here. What bigots have you met? And she says, oh, well, you know, like, look at those people walking around in their cowboy hats. That was her standard. She was referring to the Texas delegation in their cowboy hats. She pointed to one of them. All those guys in their cowboy hats. Folks, that's journalism for you. Those are the people that are feeding you the news. Worse yet, those are the people that are feeding the news to other people on radio and TV who then repackage that same BS and sell it to you in a different format. And I'm telling you, you've got to look at everything critically. And it's interesting because there was a focus group that was done during the convention. The most horrible looking individual on TV, Frank Luntz, was a terrible grouch of a guy. I digress. Anyway, but he did a focus group and he had all these people. He'd be a cross section of America, at least in theory, but I never believe those things. Anyway, so he brings all these people in. And the one thing they all agreed on is that they don't trust the media. And so why would they? Wait, is this the media that told us that Trump was no way, no how going to get elected? There's no way, no how. These are the people that have made in the last 12 months have made more wrong calls, you know, than a kid with his first telephone. We keep coming back to the same sources. We keep citing them. And there are people on the radio who do this. They'll go back to the same sources and they don't get it. So that's the standard for bigotry, of course, is by the way you look. And the irony is, of course, is that liberals, you know, they're out there, these guys in the media, they're the first to say, well, look at these cops, look at these racist cops. It's bigotry. They're making judgments based on the way people look, right? That's their whole argument. But they're the worst bigots of them all, these liberal media types. They look at a guy in a cowboy hat and think that they don't like gay people. What an absurd logical leap. You know, I want to talk about in the next segment about guns a little bit because it factored into the protests. I don't know how much of this you caught, but you know, the protests outside of the gates, outside of the perimeters, were really, really pathetic. I mean, really pathetic. The anti-Trump crowd was just meager at best. I think they were outnumbered by police 3-1. But there were some protesters out there with their open carry weapons. And in Ohio, just to kind of give you a little background, you are allowed to carry a weapon in the open. You don't need a special permit to carry a concealed weapon. Now, here in California, I think Governor Brown fairly recently did away with our open carry laws. And so now the only way to carry a weapon is if you have a CCW permit, which most counties in California will not issue you without cause. But in Ohio, they still believe in the Second Amendment, and so they have open carry laws. If you're permitted to carry weapons in the open, you know, and you can do that without a license. And so there's all these protesters out there who were pro-Trump protesters who showed up with their weapons, and it's very interesting how the police responded. I'll talk about that here when we come back. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC.
This is Sweet James Bergener. I listen to Sam Nation every weekend.
Sam Murjofsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC. And, you know, yeah, imagine you're leaving the convention and you're driving. And by the way, I will tell you, there is some terrible driving in Cleveland, some of it done by me, because everyone is lost. And the best part about it, all the out-of-state police, you know, there were, we're going to put it up on our Instagram, there were CHP officers there. Can you imagine that? They drove there with their cars more than halfway across the country. Crazy. So most of the police are from out of town. So you ask a cop, hey, how do I get to, I mean, chances are if they're not from Cleveland, they have no idea. They can't help you. They'll send you down a dark alley. So imagine, you know, you've just asked a Nevada state trooper how to get somewhere at the Cleveland convention. And you get the worst directions. You go down a dark alley. And next thing you know, you're in some accident. What do you do? I always talk about this. Well, look, I mean, there's only one thing to do. Don't engage with the other guy's insurance company. Don't talk to them. Don't even talk to yours. You don't want to go there. Put it in the hands of a professional. Attorney James Bergener, he's the guy to call. His friends call him Sweet James, and there's a reason for that. You'll discover that reason when you deal with him. He's honest, straightforward, a plain speaker. But most of all, what he does comes from his heart. And he will defend you and protect you and ensure that your rights are not trampled on by some insurance company that just wants to make a buck. Dog bites, car accidents, product liability cases, any injury, give Sweet James a call. 1-800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or visit sweetjames.com. All right. So I want to talk about the open carry thing a little bit, but I also want to touch upon here the idea, and you've all heard it all week. You saw or maybe heard about or just read a blurb about the Cruz speech. And what did you hear? Because I know I was there in the thick of it. And then I'm also reading what the news media is putting out. I'm reading, you know, clips from I'm seeing CNN. I'm reading clips from CNN. I'm reading stuff, you know, in kind of real time from National Review and going on real. I'm just going to all the sources, the usual suspects out there. And I'll tell you, the thing that you heard in the immediate aftermath of the Cruz speech is devastating. Wheels coming off the convention. No unity, no greater show of lack of unity. Republican Party falling apart. And I want to ask you, does that really ring true to you? Because I'll tell you what I saw. I saw the only credible opponent of Trump's in the Republican primary. No, I don't put Kasich in there at all. Yeah, I know Kasich was a lot. No, Confetti Kasich was a carny. Okay, Trump had one real opponent when everything was said and done, and that opponent was Ted Cruz. Cruz was the alternative anti-establishment candidate. He was the candidate who I think was favored more by evangelicals, who was favored by the more conservative Reagan wing of the Republican Party. And he had a following. And I'll tell you that following certainly went to the convention. And you would see people in the hallways with their Cruz shirts and their Cruz pins and their Cruz hats. And these are the people, by the way, that would get mobbed 10 at a time by the media because there weren't that many of them. You always know that, you know, when you have one Cruz guy and he's got 10 media surrounding him, you know, the media is desperate to find a Cruz guy because there's not that many of them around. And you knew that the Texas delegation, they had a pro-Cruz contingent. And if you read, and I was there for the roll call, and it was actually very nice what the Texas delegation said, because the speaker for the delegation gets up, says the votes, and they were, I don't remember the numbers, but they were large number of them were for Cruz. And he gets up and he says, we have a favorite son that we support. We have a guy. And it was, he spoke glowingly of Cruz. And then he gets up and he says, but now we have a new favorite son, maybe even said adopted favorite son. And his name is Donald Trump. And he's our new friend. And he spoke, it was a conciliatory, warm embrace of the Republican nominee. What does Cruz do with all of this? I'll tell you, Cruz made the mistake of his political career. If Cruz has ever made a wrong move, he made it on Wednesday. And he made more of it on Thursday morning. Now, what am I talking about? So the speech, and you've heard, you know, he gets up there and he talks about principled leadership and then ends it with vote your conscience. And at the end of the speech, this is the part that a lot of the networks didn't carry. They kind of cut off the speech, but he got booed off stage. He got booed off stage, and he got booed even, and I can tell you this for a fact, he got booed by his own sympathizers. Because they're for every guy that had a Cruz pin and a Cruz shirt and a Cruz hat, there are 20 people in the audience who were for Trump, but who were formerly for Cruz and harbored a lot of sympathy for him. In fact, if you ask them right now, if you could choose, could you choose? You know, what would you want? They'd probably pick Cruz. But they were there to show their unity. And here's the thing. How many times have you as a Republican had to hold your nose for a candidate you didn't like? Can anyone say McCain? I mean, were you really excited about John McCain? Were you excited about Romney? No, you weren't. You went into it, you held your nose, and you said, I'm a Republican, and most importantly, I don't want to see Obama elected once, and I don't want to see Obama elected twice. And so when Cruz got up there and refused to endorse, and then, you know, I told you it was about Thursday. See, because if you're coming into this, you got to realize that the setup was that there were a lot of Cruz supporters. A lot of them were stealth, but there were a lot of Cruz supporters in the audience. But only a very small contingent wanted to see Cruz, you know, wanted to see some miracle where people were voting their conscience and were switching their votes on the floor. And everybody else expected a classy move. And the classy move was to honor the pledge that they made at the beginning of the primary season. Remember that thing? Well, you know what? Cruz doesn't. And that is so fundamentally un-American. You know, one of the things that we treasure in this country, regardless of our political orientation, is being solid people of our word. We value that. You know, when you hear about somebody that he's a man of his word. If she promises you something, you can take that to the bank. Those are things that we say about people that we really respect. And, well, what do you mean? It's true. It's even our credit. You know what your credit report is? Your credit report is an official record of how well you keep your word. That's what it is. If we didn't value our commitments, we wouldn't have credit reports. That's true. It's really what it is. I promise to pay my credit card every month. If you don't, naughty, naughty, naughty. And we're going to ding you for that. And so Cruz and all the other Republicans came together with this idea of this pledge. And they all in the back of their minds, you know, Kasich, Bush, all these losers came together with this idea, we're going to make this pledge. Because you know what? Donald Trump is not going to win. he's not going to win. So what we're going to do, we're going to be extra devious. We're going to get out there and we're all going to sign this pledge that we're going to support the eventual nominee. Because, you know, the Republicans, they're not going to go for Trump. But this Trump guy, he's a bad dude. He's going to run as an independent. So we're going to make Trump sign this pledge so we can discredit him with this later when he runs, when he tries to run as an independent. We're going to ruin him with this document. Well, what happened? Trump was the last man standing. Bush, Kasich, okay? And now Cruz, all refused to abide by the pledge to support the nominee. And so Cruz, on Thursday morning, is asked at a breakfast meeting of the Texas delegation, in his friend group, if you will, his supporters group, is asked to talk about what? About gay? Why are you doing this? You signed a pledge. Da, da, da. He goes, "No, Trump went after my family. I can't support this guy." And so what he did was he admitted it's just petty and personal. And if there's anything conservative Republicans hate more than Hillary Clinton, it's a petty, personal, go back on your word guy. And that's what Cruz reduced himself to. So when we come back, let's talk Second Amendment. I want to talk about these guys we met out on the street in the middle of the protest carrying weaponry and what happened when they met up with a Politico reporter. Back after this, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
This is James Bergener. Finally, there's a weekend radio show that doesn't suck. Listen to Sam Nation with me every Saturday and Sunday.
I don't know if I'll even have a voice for tomorrow's show. I'm telling you, I've talked so much in the last week, and I'm so exhausted. I just can't wait tonight to get a full night's sleep. This convention is just ruined me. Oh my gosh. And all the time I think I walked about the best part about the whole thing is you walk a lot. And I need a Fitbit. I needed to get a Fitbit for this trip. Next time I do one of these things, I'm going to bring one. Because do you ever use these things? You know, people that do. Okay. So it's, you know, it'll track how far you've walked, and it's the technology is getting more and more precise. And I'm convinced we walked 20 miles a day at least. And it's possible even more. Part of it was just necessity, because you'd be out and about and it was so damn hot that you'd want to get back inside. And it's a sports arena. It's where the Cavs play, Quicken's Loans Arena. And by the way, if you've bought into all the reports of this Republican convention thing being disorganized and a mess, disavow yourselves of that notion. You've been lied to completely. Inside, the arena was completely transformed. So walls that would normally advertise Cleveland or the Cavs or whatever were repainted or covered, you know, with signs, with signage. Every area, every visible area from every view inside of the arena had been branded for the Republican convention. Just one small detail. Everything was perfect. Everything was clean. Everything worked. These people that were there were well-trained. I mean, they had this thing on lock, but Priebus. Yeah. He gets up and gives his first remarks. They're doing during roll call, which, by the way, what is roll call? It's when the actual delegate votes are cast. So they start with, you know, Alaska, is it? Alabama, no. They start with Alabama. Well, anyway, whoever, yeah. So they start... And they call on the state, and the state, there's a spokesman for the delegation, and they read off the votes, and they go through all the states and all the territories. And it lasts, I would say about 2.5 hours, 3 hours. I mean, it's a long deal. But the thing is, the session, it was there. It's it, Priebus gets up there, and he's chewing gum. What a clown! Seriously, who gets up on national television for the most? I mean, if you think about it, the convention is there to nominate the candidate, and for all the brouhaha we heard about the Cruz supporters and their likelihood that they would start a revolt, I would think that the roll call is the most important part, save for maybe Trump's speech, of the entire convention. And there's Priebus up there like some cud-chewing cow chomping on his Wrigley spearmint gum, whatever it is. Oh, you think it's nicotine gum? Yeah, he's got all his bad habits, you know. He's got all his bad, you know, he's ostensibly been fighting off all the revolts from within the party. And that's the gift, by the way, if you're just tuning in. Look, we were talking about Cruz last segment and how he completely destroyed himself and his credibility by refusing to endorse Trump, going back on the pledge that he made at the beginning of the primary season, his pledge that he signed, that it promised to support the eventual Republican nominee, whomever that might be. And there were no caveats. No, there's no, except in cases of him offending my family. Okay, it's politics, yo. That's what happens. I'm sorry. Mud gets thrown. You can't just go back on your principles. You sound like a colossal pussy. That's what you sound like. Anyway, a whiny little... He went full millennial. That's what happened. Little snowflake from Texas that cried. But what he gave Trump, and I'm not entirely convinced that Trump didn't orchestrate this from the beginning. Because remember, these speeches are all approved 3 days before they're given. They're loaded into a teleprompter. He read it from the teleprompter, and you're there, you can see the teleprompter. The teleprompters aren't hidden. It's on a giant screen. So if you're sitting anywhere in the area behind the podium, you can see what's on the teleprompter. Ergo, you can confirm that what is being said is programmed into the speech and that the speaker is not deviating off script. And the reason it's relevant is because Trump knew that the Trump campaign knew that he wasn't going to endorse Trump. But they kind of leaked it where all this buzz, you know, is... Oh, Cruz is going to endorse the candidate. You know, this is going to be big. They were leaking ahead of time that Cruz was going to endorse Trump. They set him up to be the jerk, the traitor. And every good party needs every good party. Well, what brings people together is a villain. And boy, did Cruz just, what a chump, because he single-handedly, better than Rance Priebus or any of other these party clowns. You want party unity? I'll give you party unity. I saw party unity after Cruz's speech like none other. Like none other. Repeatedly, people that we talked to out on the street, repeatedly, they told us the same thing. I like Cruz. I like Kasich. Those guys are dead to me. I wouldn't vote for them. One guy told us, I wouldn't vote for Cruz for dog catcher. Okay? Those are former Cruz supporters who are all in for Trump right now because that's what you do. You support the candidate. And if these people were in any way ambivalent before, Cruz delivered them. Probably more effectively than if he had said, I endorse Donald Trump. Because everybody would know he doesn't really endorse him. They're just doing it to be a good guy. So he comes across as being the good guy. That's it. It would have only benefited him. And this is why I from the beginning thought that Trump would win, because he has such great instincts. oh, but Sam, you know, he says ridiculous things. No, his instincts are spot on. So speaking of instincts, what would be yours if you saw some dude standing next to you holding a loaded assault rifle? Well, we're talking to a couple guys that are out there in the protest. Very reasonable Second Amendment guys, you know, very knowledgeable. And so we're talking to them and having a great talk. Wally and Bill. And anyway, we're talking to these guys and they're, so they're we're having a great conversation when all of a sudden a Politico reporter, a little snowflake millennial gal, walks up and goes, hi, can I talk to you? And then goes, you know, I'm just, you know, I really don't feel safe with that thing on you. And she makes this kind of gesture with her hands. And well, the absurdity of it, of course, is because I'd asked these guys earlier, I said, well, what kind of reactions are you getting from people? And they said, really positive overall. And I said, well, what about the police? Because there are a lot of police out here. And he goes, you know, the police have been the most supportive and the least threatened by me. And one of the things that he had, he pointed to this thing, and it was a white, kind of a bright white piece of plastic that was inside of his gun, coming out of his gun. And the Politico reporter then comes, well, what's that thing coming out of your gun? And he goes, oh, that I put that in my gun to show that there's not a bullet in the chamber. In other words, he's got a clip loaded with ammunition, but there isn't a bullet in the chamber, so the gun can't fire, you know. And she goes, well, what if you drop it? It's going to, I'm just worried you're going to drop it. Two things. The left's stunning incomprehension of how a gun works. You can't, okay, listen to me, Snowflake. If you happen to listen to this program right now, let me explain something to you. If there's not a bullet in the chamber, the gun will never fire. You can drop it. You can bang it. You can hit it. You can throw it in an oven. You can pull the trigger a million times. A semi-automatic weapon will not fire if there's not a round in the chamber. It's not going to happen. Can't happen. But this reporter didn't want to hear anything about it. And she was holding, the best part about it is she came up and she was holding one of those toy bubble gun things. And she kept insisting that this toy gun was banned, but how come what he was wearing, was holding, wasn't banned? It's absurd because I think she's got it all wrong. I don't understand why that toy is not banned. My kids have that toy. But I love the guy's retort. He goes, well, That thing's made in China. My thing's made in America. I'm glad that piece of junk thing from China got banned. But the best part is she kept holding the gun, the little bubble gun, pointed at him, and he kept gently putting his hand down on the barrel and pointing it down at the ground, demonstrating what is proper gun safety. You don't ever point a gun at anybody. But she was such an idiot that she kept pointing the... unbelievable. Oh my gosh, but what if you drop it? So then I said, well, hey, there's, you know, he explained to her what the thing was in the plastic thing. She goes, well, it's not making me feel any safer. So then I said, what if it was pink? She goes at me. She looks at me. She goes, did you just gender me? Yeah, lady, I gendered all over you. Deal with it. All right, guys, I'm going to be back tomorrow, 6 p.m., give you more insight into what happened at the convention, some great stories and tidbits. Visit samnation.com for Instagram, Twitter, and all that jazz. Have a great rest of your Saturday. Back tomorrow. See ya. Sam Berjovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC.